Well, if you would, let's start by looking in Matthew 26. Matthew 26 is one of the accounts that we see here as far as this woman and that is what she had done. I'm going to read verses 6 through 13. Says, now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured the perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. A question number one, it says, do Matthew and Mark record the same incident as John 12? And we're going to discuss that briefly for a moment, because this is not the, as we'll see, not the main part of this. So, as far as we put on there, similarities and differences. Now, on your copy, I put similarities first, but actually, I want to look at the differences first. Let's start with the differences first for a moment. What did you put on there, the differences that you might have seen in these three accounts? Anything was... Okay. Okay, so we see a difference as far as the head and the feet. Okay, was there any other thing you saw? Okay, we see the idea of John names her and others. Anything else? Okay, and that has to do with just the foot account. What about time? Okay, yeah, 2 days and then 6 days. Okay, so two of the accounts say 2 days and 1 6-day. So, you know, this idea when you look at, well, really, that's kind of what question two was, but I wanted to address it here in the differences part, because these chronological, if you will, differences. What we're going to see, though, that this idea, when you see at the similarities of these things, I want to suggest to you that these aren't different accounts. I mean, what these men are recording is the same. It's the same account. And what about the similarities? What did we see in there that was similar? What about the town? Was it the same? Okay, all three accounts said Bethany. We see that the similarity is that these were all in the last week. We do see a little difference in the time, I mean the days mentioned, but I suggest to you that's because Matthew and Mark were writing topically. And I believe that's some of the reasons why the days were like that. We see that it's the same basic story. All three accounts talk about what she had done, and that's the purpose of this. We see what she has done, we see what Jesus thought about what she had done, and we also see what the disciples had said about what she had done. So these were all similarities that we see in this. They all meet they all say the same thing as far as that. We see that all the accounts talk about this perfume. The this from Bernard, the cost, which we'll get into the cost on one of the other questions. The same objections from the disciples, the response of Jesus. We see all these similarities to the story. So I believe this woman, as we titled it, a woman, she has done what she could, is this Mary that it speaks of. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. We're going to skip number two because I think we kind of covered that. Let's look at number three for a second. So, how costly was this perfume that the woman poured on Jesus? 300 denarii, or how do you say that? So, 300 denarii. We see that in Mark and John's account. Matthew just says that it was a sold for a high price, which 300 denarii would be definitely considered a high price when you think of the value of that. If you look at Matthew 20, verse 2, what was the how many days labor would one get a denarii for? One day. Okay, so one denarii is basically a day's wage. So then you could say roughly the 300 denarii would be pretty close to a year's pay. That's quite a bit of money. So when we think about that, we think about, you know, the value of this perfume. And number four, and if y'all have any comments or questions, just get my attention. Yes, sir. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. What from the story? What do we understand that this woman seemed to understand that these male disciples didn't? What, you know? What was the purpose of this? Yes, ma'am. Correct. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So we do see that idea in there, don't we? She understood something that they didn't. And, you know, this idea, she was trying to prepare him beforehand for burial. But his disciples, they didn't understand this idea. And we see that that wasn't anything new. They, you know, this idea of not getting Jesus as a suffering Messiah. But apparently she understood that in the things that she was doing. Let's look at Matthew 16 for a minute. Matthew 16, let's read verses 21 through 23. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And then we see here where Peter took him to the side and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man. So we see what he said to Peter, What did he mean by that statement? Did he think that Peter is Satan? No. So what is he trying to explain? Not only will he's explaining this to Peter, but it's also to us readers, we see this idea that, you know, he was telling Peter that his thoughts on this were wrong. Peter was focusing on man's interest, not God's. You know, Jesus had come for a reason, and we see this. This isn't the only account that we could look at to see where they didn't understand this idea of a suffering Messiah. But this woman Mary, she understood and she believed what few of her day did. And we see here that she wasn't ashamed to give evidence of her faith in the face of unbelief. Not only did she evidence, you know, this strong perception, but also a strong faith when you think about what she did. You know, by doing this, we see the disciples, they didn't understand what was going on. Their focus was on the value aspect, as you said, of the perfume, and not the value of what she was doing, because she was looking at this in a different view. You know, this idea of a suffering Messiah. I'm not going to go in a lot of detail due to time, but we see this, you know, that this idea was not understood before its death by many, and we just saw an example of that. After his death, you know, there was still many that still didn't grasp that. You know, we see that idea in Acts 2, you know, and how things were explained. And then even today, you know, some don't grasp or understand the significance or appreciate, you know, what was done. And, you know, these are good things for us to remember. Turn with me to Luke 10, Luke 10, 38. We don't have to go into great detail on this because this is one story that Steve's already covered on this series. Luke 10, 8 through 30, I'm sorry, 38 through 42. But when we look at this, might this have any bearing on the things that we're studying? You know, in this story here in Luke, do you remember what Jesus commended Mary for? Okay. Okay.
And that's where she drew the conclusion. You pay attention, we can read now, and this is left for us to understand. You can read where he's talking about that, but he's going to say, well, he's going to sell her to sacrifice. He is her sacrifice. He she got that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we do see that, you know, that the way it worded it in Luke was that she had done, or she chose the good part. She was seated at the Lord's feet, like you said, and she was listening to his word. You know, what about us today? Maybe if we spent more time doing that. You know, we don't listen at his feet like she had the opportunity, but, you know, what about God's word? We have opportunity to listen to God's word or to read it, to absorb it, to understand it. You know, what if we were better at doing that? What if we came to a better appreciation for this word and for our ability to be able to walk according to it? Something that we can think of. So in this story, not the Luke one, but the woman, she had done what she could, Mary. What did Jesus commend her for? Okay, to do what she could. Okay. Yeah, so, because in 26:10, we see the idea, he says that she did what she could. That's in Matthew. And in Mark, Marcus, she had done what she could. Yeah. 26:10. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. It said that in Matthew 26:10, it calls it a good deed. So Mark's account is where it says she had done what she could. So we see this idea of what she had done, and we saw through the different accounts it's the idea of preparing Jesus for burial or anointing his body before burial. So Jesus commends her on what she did, or that she did what she could. You know, at that moment, under those circumstances, she availed herself of that opportunity to do what she could and to honor Christ and to serve the Master. You know, one of the things when I was looking at this this story, one thing that came to mind, you know, we need to be careful in our view of things. Okay, because we see here this idea of what Mary did. We see how the disciples reacted to it, and we see how Jesus reacted to it. Now, when we look at this story, our thinking could be, we could say that, well, it's logical in itself it's logical for us to think that, hey, you know, this sounds like a good idea. You know, we should have sold this perfume. It's valued at $300. We could do a lot of good with this money for the poor. That sounds logical, doesn't it? But we see from Jesus' reaction that there was more to it than that. You know, Mary's focus was not on the value of the perfume, but as was said earlier, the value of Jesus. And she was doing this for him. She was doing this good deed. She was doing what she could. And not only that, we see what Jesus thinks of this. You know, he rebukes the disciples for what they had said, for giving her a hard time about this, and then he commends her. So, you know, that's something for us to think about. You know, we need to be careful in the way that we view things. And I'll pick up just a second. Let me see what your question is. Okay, and that's where I... Well, and that's where I was going next, and that's a good point, because we could see where, number one, where we would have to be careful in our thinking. But as Lisa points out, you know, let's look at Matthew 26:8 for just a second. I want to first look at how Matthew states this. It says in Matthew 26:8, "But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, 'Why this waste?'" So we see this idea here, the disciples. Now let's look at Mark's account. In 14:4, it says, "But some were indignantly remarking to one another, 'Why has this perfume been wasted?'" And then we'll go to John. We're going to read John 12:4-6. It says, "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, 'Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. He used to pilfer what was put into it." So we see this idea of what Lisa was talking about. In Matthew, I just find it interesting because it talks about the disciples. Then Mark's account says some of them. Some of them were discussing this amongst themselves. And then John talks about Judas. So is it possible maybe, I agree that the disciples were the ones that did say this to her, but was it possibly out of what Judas had started? You know, we see this accounted there, and we also see that what his reasoning behind doing this is, because he's focused on money. You know, he's focused on what could have been put in the box that he had control of. And my point of bringing that up is that these other men could have been misled, and that's a warning to us as well. Being careful of the things that others might lead us to believe. Because we see in this case, however that started, it was wrong. You know, these men, their thinking on what Mary was doing was incorrect. And, and Jesus even condemns, or not, Jesus rebukes them for this. Yes, sir. Right. That's a good point, because we can kind of see an idea of the women's maybe being more perceptive of some of these things. Yes, ma'am. Right. Good point. Heck, if we do see that, it is, she was taking advantage of the opportunity then, it, you know, and that's what we need to think about when we're doing things. You know, we might think of it, well, it might be something little or this and that, but, you know, we're taking opportunity of the time when things come about. You know, that's, got that on here somewhere. I'm trying to remember where we're at. Yeah, we'll touch on some of that on 9. But good comments. Did I miss anybody? Okay. On number 8, we see this. Okay. Make sure I'm not going to run out of time here. On number 8, what principle relative to serving God is reflected in the following? So we see the idea that God expects us to do what we can. And, you know, let's turn over to Matthew 25 for a second. I know everybody's familiar with this. Parable, what we call parable of the talents. What was the problem here? You know, we see that these men were given different amounts of money based on their ability. So what was the actual problem that we see from this? Okay. 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 So he didn't, you know, he made excuses, didn't use the ability that he had. But we never see in this that the problem was the ability. The problem was the willingness of those that had the abilities to use the ability. Because the other two men, we see that they were commended for what they did, because they used the ability they had. The problem with the one talent man was that he was not willing to use it, and he made excuses. So God expects us to do what we can, and he will hold us accountable. We see that from that example in Matthew 25. And the idea of opportunity. In Philippians 4:10, says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." So we see the idea of where there's opportunity for us to do things, you know, that we should do them. And we're not expected to do more than we can. On number 9, you know, because we're looking at this idea of Mary, she did what she could. I think that's something very important for us to consider. And number 9, other examples of people who did what they could. Note what they did. Okay, Abraham. You could think of the idea. Well, let's look at Hebrews 13. we see from Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. So we can see the importance of being hospitable or hospitality. Maybe just a meal or something like that. If you looked at the Shunammite woman, what about if we thought about in meetings opportunities to feed the preacher? What about giving for the work of the church? When we see here about David, when we think about in Timothy or 2 Timothy, this idea of Lois and Eunice, his mother and his grandmother, what they meant to him. And what I mean by that is how they impacted his life because of the teachings that they did. What about us? What about teaching our children or our grandchildren, the impact that we can have on them, doing what we can. Some of these things that might seem simple, but, like we even saw in Hebrews, you don't always know, what these opportunities bring. They seem something simple to us, possibly. But, we are doing what we can. We are doing something for these other people. So these are things for us to consider about, especially when it comes to our children, a responsibility we have to them anyway. But when we think about what this can do, it might seem simple in one aspect, but it's very important, teaching them in the way they should go and bringing them up in the Word. How was this woman treated for doing this good deed? Okay. They thought she was wasteful. So they criticized her. So we can see here that it's possible that sometimes we might get criticized by just doing what we can. And it might even be a fellow disciple that criticizes you. But remember what the Lord said in this example. When that was taking place, when these disciples were criticizing her, he told them to let her alone. And then commended what she did, said that she has done a good deed to me. And remember, that even Jesus was criticized. And, after all that he did, he ends up dying for those that criticize. We need to listen to criticism. But we don't need to worry about it if it's something that's unfounded. If there's not a reason for that criticism. Because sometimes when you try to do the right things, you will be criticized for doing that. After reading these, I feel for Mary. Somebody was always, up in her business. Because we saw one of the examples in Luke that when she was with Martha, you know, she had chose the good part. And then in this example here, we see the idea that she was trying to do a good deed, or she was doing what she could. But in both instances, she still faced criticism. But in both instances, the others were wrong. And Jesus commended her in what she was doing. You know, so this idea of she was commended for sitting at his feet and, you know, wanting to understand what he was teaching. And obviously, she grew some understanding, as Keith mentioned. But then in this instance, we see that she got some things that other people didn't. You know, that was the important part that she understood, and the others were looking at the wrong part of things. And so they're good lessons for us to think about. What about, or we'll get to number 11 because we're running out of time. What do you learn about Jesus from this instance? John? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It's a good point. That's a good point. That's, you know, that's a real good point that Lauren brings up, because sometimes, well, think about it. We might try to be helpful to others, in which we should. But what about when we need help? Are we accepting other people's help? That's something that, you know, some of us got to work on. That's a good point. Did you have a? Yes. We've all been guilty. Yes, sir. Yes. That's true. Any other comments or thoughts? Okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
All right. Jesus, throughout the ministry, you see the advantage of normal situations that some people can in a critical moment for his disciples and others around him. So you see him make advantage of these cool moments. And for us Christians, we come across people moments on a regular basis. Sometimes we use the system. Yes. We see some of the other stuff that we did, maybe like for me, as a parent, teach my daughter, hey, you know, for us, this reminds me of the situation we're going through here. Here's the peaceful home. Jesus did it. I'll do it. Peaceful home. Give me that.
Okay, good point. So, to this idea that he took advantage of teachable moments, and even as it's recorded, then it teaches us as well on how he handled things and how he commended those. I think I'm going to get buzzed, so thank y'all.